Now, every parent wants the same thing for their child, to enjoy a long and fulfilling life. But what happens when things don't go according to plan? What happens when parents have to become advocates for their child's healthcare needs? And who decides what's in the child's best interests? Well, Stephanie Nimmo faced these questions firsthand when her daughter Daisy was diagnosed with a life-limiting condition as a baby. She's here to tell us her story. Great to have you on the show with us, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me. It's good to speak to you.
Now, I can't imagine it must have been so tough for you. Can you tell us Daisy's story?
Yeah, so basically Daisy was a very, very much wanted fourth child. She completed our family. We had two boys and two girls. She was born prematurely and not long afterwards was diagnosed with a very rare genetic condition called Costello syndrome. And like many of these conditions, it's on a kind of spectrum. She was very severely affected, and I had to give up my career and become her full-time nurse and advocate and navigate my way around healthcare systems and some decisions that parents would never have to make. Daisy lived until she was 12, and then sadly she died in Great Ormond Street Hospital in January 2017 when she 12 years old.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, it's just, it's something you learn to live with. You never get over, but you learn to carry it with you. And I will always be a mum of four.
And did you want to write this sort of as a guidebook for other people going through what you went through?
Yes. Well, I mean, what I found, I'd always taken a lot of comfort. I'm a writer by profession and a communications professional. And something that struck me was that we had our own journey through that healthcare system, finding ourselves because of a very random sporadic gene mutation, our lives turned upside down. And we took certain decisions. And for me, at the end of Daisy's life, I was very much confident in the conversations I'd had with our healthcare professionals. But it struck me that there were a lot of cases that come to court that you see in the headlines where there's conflict and breakdown of trust. And so I wanted to understand what was going on behind all of that to help both doctors and health professionals, as well as parents, understand the system and how they could potentially work better together for the child at the centre of it all.
Yeah, we've seen it, haven't we? I mean, they've even done dramas on TV about it where they have to go to court. And you really don't, as a viewer, you don't know what's right, who's right and who's wrong. I think everybody has the best child's interest at heart, but should it be the parent? Should it be the healthcare professional?
And I mean, I think that's the thing at the centre of it all. So ironically, the best interests drama that I think you're referring to on TV.
Yes.
I was involved at the very, very beginning, sharing a lot of my insights into that. And I think what's really clear, and I speak to a lot of parents, is every situation is absolutely unique. And the only people that really know what's going on are those people involved around that child's hospital bed at the time. And everyone does have that child's best interests at heart, but what that actually means for parents versus other people involved can vary dramatically. And so that's why I wanted to try and help people understand why it is so different and why there are no right and wrong answers, and just the most difficult and complex of decisions and how we can help people just work together. And it's all about better communication and a better understanding. I think particularly I wanted to get across to health professionals what it feels like to be the parent in the middle of this, trying to make horrendous decisions at the most awful, awful time in your life.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, actually, because you said a lot about you as a parent building relationships with say, the palliative care teams, for example. But do you think that medical professionals can learn how to better support families when this sort of thing happens?
Totally. And I think what it comes down to is just that a better understanding of how it feels like to be the parent and having some empathy and standing in the parent's shoes and understanding what it feels like. For me personally, when Daisy was born, prior to that, I'd been this successful marketing director, and I felt totally disempowered. It felt like everyone was speaking a foreign language, and very, very early on, I realized that I needed to get my head around all of this, because I was being asked to make some really tough decisions and to advocate for my daughter's life. And so understanding what that feels like and stepping over, as it were, and feeling what it's like to be a parent in that situation, I think helps medical professionals be better at their job and be more empathetic, and hopefully build that trust so that it doesn't break down into these huge conflicts that you see played out in the family court.
Mm, indeed. And is the book just Daisy's story, or do you speak to other parents in it, or even health professionals in a similar situation?
Yeah, so what I did, I didn't want it to just be my story, because my story, as I say, every story is unique. So I used my experience of caring for Daisy and Daisy's end of life and all the interactions with health professionals, the good and the bad, but I interwove it with stories from lots and lots of other parents. So I interviewed lots of parents to understand what it felt like for them as well, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I went and I observed court cases, I read court transcripts, and I also interviewed nurses, because it's often the nurses that are a lot closer to these families on a day-by-day basis. I interviewed mediators, lawyers, all sorts of people to try and get a rounded picture, so that hopefully it gives a bit of insight into really what's going on in the background in these big cases, and hopefully gives people, parents that are in those situations, a better understanding, medical professionals something that they can possibly do and change, and generally people who've seen all these screaming headlines, a better understanding of what's going on, why these are so difficult and complex cases. So there's a real mixture and a kind of an oversight into lots of different touch points. I even interviewed chaplains, hospital chaplains.
Oh, wow.
Because I wanted to understand, for what the role they played. It had never occurred to me while Daisy was alive until at her end of life, the woman Muslim chaplain sat with my other kids while I was with Daisy, and I just chatted to her afterwards, and she was just a human, just another person there, a mum just with my kids, and I understood a lot more about how they can just be with parents and help them navigate this really complex world, and it doesn't matter whatever religion they are. And that's something I didn't know about.
And that's the other thing, isn't it? Sadly, nobody wants to talk about death. It's very taboo, and you need to open up conversations about that too, I guess.
It's absolutely. It's something that I write and talk about a lot, because it really has impacted me and my family. And Daisy, we knew from very, very early on that Daisy was not going to survive to adulthood. And I think that really focuses your mind. When you know that your child has, you know, the clock is ticking, you make the most of things. And for us, those things were small things like literally being able to sit around the table as a family, sit on the sofa and watch a film together, became really big things, because you don't take those for granted. I mean, it became even more important for me, because actually a year before Daisy died, my husband died of cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I had this awful, awful double whammy. And I think, you know, my case is quite extreme and it's unimaginable, but we don't talk about death as much as we should. And I think in talking about it, I think it helps you appreciate life more and appreciate, as I say, those little things. I no longer take anything for granted. It's those moments with my kids and my loved ones are so precious. And it doesn't have to be the big Disney trips. It literally just has to be time spent together under one roof.
Mm. And how are they doing? Because, of course, your children have lost their father and their sister.
Yes. Well, they were really young. When Daisy was born, they were 7, 5, and 2. They're young adults now. They lost their dad. They were all under 18. And they're incredible young adults. I think you'd never want that for your children growing up. And I think this is something I get across to people as well. When you're caring for a medically complex child with siblings, the siblings, they only have one shot of childhood as well. But it's given them resilience and strength and empathy that is just mind-blowing. And they're very determined. My daughter's off in Australia on a working holiday visa. It breaks my heart, but I'm so happy. She's having the time of her life. My two boys are living their dream. My youngest son, who's only just turned 21, he's working as a chef in a restaurant. But all of them, we all talk about Daisy and their dad. We're very open. We're very, just open about talking about death and making the most, and we're very, very close. We've had to sort of reform in many ways, but I'm incredibly proud of them. And for what they've been through and where they are now, it's just wonderful to see as a mum.
And I'm sure they're incredibly proud of you as well, Stephanie, because, you know, you had to go through, obviously, losing your husband, then that last year caring for Daisy on your own, and, yes. and then Daisy. So I think you're an inspiration.
I don't know. I'm just an ordinary woman that was thrown into some really extraordinary circumstances. And I think you do it for love, don't you? What else? You know, what else can you do?
Yeah, you have very little choice, don't you? And I think because you've got children, if you didn't have any other children, maybe it wouldn't be worth the fight. But because you've got three children as well, then I totally understand. Can I ask, are there any photos of Daisy in the book?
No, sadly, there are not. But she was gorgeous. You can, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm always posting pictures of Daisy. And she was she was larger than life character. It was hilarious. She loved it. If it's a bit of slapstick comedy, you know, if someone fell over, she thought that was absolutely hilarious or dropped something. And she ruled the roost at home. Much as she was the youngest, she was the boss. She was the boss girl.
I am just looking now on X, or we call it X now. Yes,
exactly.
I can see her. She is stunning. Bless her.
Yes, yeah.
Well, we are selling the book on our website. I think it could really help a lot of people. So our listeners can go to tre.radio. The book's called Anything for My Child, Making Impossible Decisions for Medically Complex Children. And it's by Stephanie Nimmo, who we're chatting to now. And you're just Steph Nimmo on Twitter, on X, aren't you, Steph?
I am, yes. Brilliant. And on Instagram, so yeah.
Well, thank you for being so brave and chatting to me, and lots of love to your other children.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Cheers. Bye-bye.